We now begin our briefing on fiscal 2016 third quarter consolidated business results. Participants are Representative Executive Officer, President and CEO Satoshi Tsunakawa. Representative Executive Officer, Corporate Executive Vice President Masayoshi Hirata. And Outside Director, Chairman of the Audit Committee, Ryoji Sato. And I am Naoto Hasegawa, General Manager for Public Relations and Investor Relations Division, serving as the moderator. First, opening remarks by President Tsunakawa. This is Tsunakawa speaking. Thank you very much for coming. We are now making announcements of the results for the third quarter of the 178th term that has been postponed twice following the further extension on the deadline for submission of the 178th third quarter securities report. We have received from the independent auditor its quarterly report with a disclaimer of conclusion on the third quarter results. We find this development to be truly regrettable, given that, on Toshiba's part, we have done our best to gain an understanding of the independent auditor and have received a report from the audit committee that concluded that all the series of investigations have been completed and that, as a result of the investigations, no concrete evidence was found to show the need to recognize loss related to CB&I, Stone & Webster for the periods other than the third quarter of fiscal 2016, and that there were no important matters to be specifically modified. As we have not received from the auditor any specific indication of important matters to be corrected, we have decided that even if we were to again apply for a further extension of the deadline for submitting the quarterly report, there is no prospect of receiving a representation of conclusion from the independent auditor. And thus, so as not to further cause inconvenience or concern to the shareholders, investors, and other stakeholders, we have decided to announce the third quarter results without an opinion of the independent auditor, while it is extremely unusual. We extend our deepest apologies to the shareholders, investors, and other stakeholders for having caused serious inconvenience and concern due to prolonged state of not being able to announce our results and for the state we are in now. Today, first, the outline and the results of the investigations that led to the extensions of the deadline for submitting the quarterly report will be explained by the Chairman of the Audit Committee of the Board of Directors, Ryoji Sato, followed by a briefing on the fiscal 2016 third quarter results by Corporate Executive Vice President Masayoshi Hirata. But before giving the floor to Audit Committee Chairman Sato, I would like to give you an overview of the company's situation.
First is the business situation. Excluding the overseas nuclear power business, which generated a huge loss, almost all business segments have been showing fairly healthy returns. Since Westinghouse filed a voluntary petition under Chapter 11 of the U.S. Bankruptcy Code, the overseas nuclear power business was deconsolidated from Toshiba Group, as announced on March the 29th. We believe this is in line with the company's policy of eliminating risk related to overseas nuclear power business. In addition, we have taken measures to improve our financial situation. These measures include the sale of assets with a value of approximately 160 billion yen in fiscal year 2016 and continued application of a number of other measures, including reduced compensation for executive officers, bonus cuts for executive officers and employees, and emergency measures such as the adjustment of allowances. Further, Toshiba is considering third-party investment in the memory business up to a majority holding. The company separated out the memory business, creating Toshiba Memory Corporation on April 1, 2017, and is currently in the process of selecting a third-party investor. As a result of these measures, and in light of the value of the memory business, we are certain that the company will be able to build a secure financial base. Next is the financing situation. To secure continuing support and cooperation, we have been giving a sincere explanation to our main banks and other creditor financial institutions, and so far, we are gaining their support. We will continue to take all necessary steps so that we do not fall into an unexpected capital situation. Lastly, allow me to discuss the outlook for the full year financial closing for fiscal year 2016. Due to the extension of the closing of third quarter business results, some amount of time will be required to complete the audit of the final earnings report for fiscal year 2016. Our intention, nevertheless, is to make an announcement around the middle of May. Let me reiterate, the mission of Toshiba is to contribute to a sustainable society by creating value with our core technologies and in our core businesses of social infrastructure, energy, electronics devices, and ICT solutions. We will dedicate all our efforts to accomplishing this mission. For the recovery of confidence undermined by the extension of our financial results announcement, I would like to continue to lead the organization with all my heart and soul, and I ask for your support and understanding. Next, Mr. Sato will give you more details.
My name is Sato. I'll talk about the perspective from the audit committee and also the overview of the investigation and its results, which resulted in the delay of the quarterly report submission. Let me first talk about the perspective of the audit committee. Our company and Westinghouse, until this month, from last year, December, due to the indication by the independent auditor and consultation, we have been making the investigation in regards to the loss acquired from the acquiring the Stone and Webster company by the Westinghouse using the third-party lawyers. In more than 3 months investigation, we found some concern in regards to behavior of some senior managers in a limited scope and period. In inappropriate pressure has seemed to have exercised for certain managers, which we have made some request for them not to be involved in the management of the Westinghouse, and that measure has been confirmed to be taken. On the other hand, inappropriate pressure behavior has been recognized. However, the internal audit committee has made a judgment that internal control of Toshiba Westinghouse was worked effectively so that it did not impact on the financial statement. Next, I'd like to talk about the results of the review by the independent auditor. From independent auditor, today, in regards to the financial statements from first quarter to the third quarter financial statements, they have stated disclaimer of conclusion. Independent auditors have not been able to evaluate the ultimate investigation results. As a result, they cannot make a judgment whether it requires some modification to the quarterly consolidated financial statements or not. As for audit committee, in regards to the other quarters, other than the third quarter of 2016, there has been no other evidence found in regards to recognize the loss. So therefore, we judge that this investigation has been completed. We have made diversified investigation to be able to gain the understanding of independent auditor, but we feel regret that this resulted in this disclaimer. Let me now talk about the overview of the investigation. For this investigation has been done more than 3 months. In this investigation, more than 600,000 emails has been investigated, and also several dozens of employees had been interviewed. In investigation number one, last December, Westinghouse acquired CB&I Stone & Webster Company. There's a possibility was seen to account for a huge amount of loss, so therefore to investigate of the possibility of recognizing the loss for the Stone & Webster acquisition in the period prior to the third quarter of 2016.
So we have conducted interviews on 15 senior executives and employees at Toshiba and Westinghouse, and we have also conducted digital forensic investigations on their emails. As a result, we did not identify any evidence of neither Toshiba nor Westinghouse being able to recognize the loss associated with Stone & Webster acquisition with a level of probability to the extent to be incorporated in financial statements before December 2016. In the investigation number two, we have investigated on internal reports suggesting inappropriate pressures from certain senior managers regarding purchase price allocation process for acquisition of Stone & Webster. We have conducted 25 interviews on those who were considered to have exercised inappropriate pressures as mentioned in internal reports and those who were said to be witnesses. And digital forensic investigations were conducted on their emails. And through the course of these investigations, we obtained statements about inappropriate pressures by certain senior managers. Therefore, we decided to conduct investigation number three by expanding the scope to cover other group companies of Toshiba and Westinghouse. Investigation number three have expanded the target scope of investigation number two to investigate on existence of inappropriate pressures by certain senior managers or scope of their influences. Through the course of investigations, we have interviewed over 40 senior managers and employees who are associated and conducted digital forensic investigations on as many as 600,000 emails of those who were associated. As a result, we have confirmed behaviors deemed to be inappropriate pressures by certain senior managers in order to reduce the said loss to an inappropriate level. We have requested the executive side to take drastic measures on those senior managers, such as not having them involved in business management of Westinghouse. In investigation number four, according to suggestions made by independent auditors, we have investigated further on investigation number one in order to identify a possibility of recognizing the said loss in accounting processes of specific four events. We have conducted additional investigations on emails collected during investigation one, but we did not confirm a fact to recognize the loss in any of those four events. Lastly, let me explain a history of the investigations. Since the possibility of recording a loss was announced at the end of December 2016, we, the audit committee, has made sincere efforts to conduct investigations and have answered all of the suggestions and comments received from our independent auditors. The audit committee has completed all of its investigations and concluded that there were no events to influence numbers on consolidated financial statements. This concludes my explanation.
I now give the floor to Masayoshi Hirata for the third quarter results. I will now explain the results for the third quarter of fiscal 2016. Please turn to page 4. Results for the third quarter cumulative total are shown in the center column of the table. Net sales were 3,848.9 billion yen, a decrease of about 170 billion yen, or about 4% year-on-year. Operating income and loss and income and loss before income taxes were minus 576.3 billion and minus 597 billion, respectively, a substantial deterioration of 344 billion and 436 billion due to posting of a loss and impairment of goodwill in nuclear power systems totaling about 720 billion yen. Income and loss from continuing operations before non-controlling interests was minus 729.2 billion yen, down 232.9 billion yen, and income from discontinued operations was 101.3 billion yen, resulting in net loss of 532.5 billion yen. Free cash flow was minus 54.7 billion. Equity attributable to shareholders of the company was minus 225.7 billion due to the impact of impairment of nuclear goodwill. And net interest-bearing debt totaled 584.5 billion yen. The exchange rate at the end of previous fiscal year, March 2016, was 113 yen to the dollar, versus 116 yen to the dollar at the end of December, representing a yen depreciation of 3 yen. Because of the delay in reporting the third quarter results, there have been important events subsequent to the reporting period after the announcement made on February 14th. The amount of the effect is shown on the far right. Minus 26.6 billion yen in net sales, minus 31.6 billion yen in operating income, and minus 34.5 billion in equity attributable to shareholders of the company. I will explain the details using the next page. Please turn to page 5. There are two subsequent events that occurred after announcement on February 14th. One is additional provision made for product warranties in residential fuel cell systems, and the other is related to nuclear power systems, mainly write-off of certain capitalized costs for long lead materials for future orders for AP1000 projects, in light of increasing uncertainty under recent circumstances. Based on the newly recognized facts after February 14th, we have slightly adjusted some figures in the third quarter results from those explained earlier.
Please turn to page 6, which shows the highlights of the Q3 year-to-date results. For businesses other than energy system solutions, for which a nuclear power-related goodwill impairment was recognized, the situation is generally unchanged from our explanations for the second quarter. Revenue is down year-on-year by approximately 170 billion yen. This is due to a sharp decline in PC and TV sales related to the structure reform, as well as the approximately 310 billion yen impact of the stronger yen, mainly in the first half of the year. Despite the consolidation of WECTEC, a construction subsidiary of Westinghouse, and the volume growth of hard disk products, contributing to the results of the energy system solution and storage and devices solution businesses, respectively. The operating loss deteriorated year-on-year by 344.4 billion yen due to the nuclear power business's goodwill impairment of approximately 720 billion yen. Which was only partially offset by the year-on-year improvements of about 370 billion yen. Coming from the memory business, structure reform, emergency measures, and almost all other businesses. The memory business increased operating income by 23% for Q3 and 15% for the first 9 months of this fiscal year compared with the previous year. The impact of a stronger yen is estimated at a negative 62 billion yen. This is coming from the yen-dollar exchange rate for the first 9 months of 107 this year compared with 122 a year ago. Non-operating loss deteriorated year-on-year by about 90 billion yen due to the positive contribution from the sale of the Finnish company Kone's securities for 177.9 billion yen in the year earlier. Income before tax fell by 436 billion yen. The net loss slipped year on year by 53.1 billion yen to a negative 532.5 billion yen due to a minus 300 billion yen reversal of deferred tax assets related to Toshiba and its consolidated subsidiaries in the previous year, as well as the profit from discontinued operations of 101.3 billion yen, including the gain from the sale of consumer electronics business during the first quarter. Page 7 is the free cash flow. Free cash flow is a negative 54.7 billion yen, as mentioned on page 4.
Even though the huge loss was incurred due to the goodwill impairment of nuclear business, there was no cashing out in this term of the, not the all the amount to be cashed out, but also due to the other non-nuclear business profit increase. Operating cash flow has resulted in plus positive number of 22.9 billion Japanese yen. In terms of the investment cash flow, we are proceeding with the sale of the home appliance business asset, but due to the continuous investment in memory business, that resulted in negative number of minus 77.6 billion yen. In the financial structure, negative 532.5 billion yen net income loss was accounted, so therefore, shareholder equity became minus or negative 225.7 billion yen. Page 8 shows the net sales and the operating income per segment. Total number has been already introduced in page 4, but in others, compared to the same terms, quarters, in the previous year, it is difference is negative 240.8 billion of net sales due to the withdrawing from the B2C business of the PC business in Western countries. In operating income, however, was very good in the memory business and hard disk drive business in storage and device solutions, and others, structural reforms in PC and television, and also FY16 reducing the compensation and bonuses, special measures effect, but also retail printing solution accounted. These impairment loss of 70 billion impact will not be included in this year, so therefore in total improvement of 370 billion yen was achieved. On the other hand, in energy and system solution business, the impairment loss of the nuclear business is approximately 720 billion yen, so it resulted in the difference of the negative of the 340 billion yen compared to the previous year. Page 9 shows the comparison of the operating income compared to the previous year. There was the 231.9 billion yen operating income loss, but in FY16, due to the impairment resulted from the subsidiary of the Toshiba Tech and also transmission and the distribution business impairment, which was about 120 billion, these impairment has been eliminated in this year, but due to the sales price decline of the NAND flash memory, resulted in negative 90 billion yen, and also due to the appreciated yen, negative 60 billion yen. Those are all worsening numbers. But then, on the other hand, due to the miniaturization of NAND flash memory and volume increase of HDD and infra system solution and storage and device solutions, narrowing down and eliminating the not profit-making businesses and products, we have made improvement of the gross margin rate to become 230 billion yen, and also structural reform and the fixed cost has been reduced, which has resulted in the plus 110 billion yen increase, and also the emergency measures of the plus 65 billion yen, which resulted in total of the 170 billion yen. So therefore, improvement of 370 billion yen compared to the previous year, but due to the nuclear business goodwill impairment resulted in the 720 billion yen. Therefore, the operating loss of 576.3 billion yen in the third quarter.
So page 10 shows the profit changes from operating level to the net income level. Page 11 is showing a breakdown of non-operating income loss and expenses. Page 12 is showing the free cash flow conditions for 3 years. Pages 13 and 14 are about consolidated balance sheets. So I hope you can refer to these pages at a later timing. Page 15 is showing the goodwill and fixed assets conditions, which have been explained continuously in the past. In nuclear power systems, we conducted impairment loss on existing goodwill in addition to the new goodwill in Q3 to cause a goodwill balance to be zero. So landscape business still has a balance of goodwill worth 160 billion yen. But as you can read at the bottom of the page, we are currently studying various strategic alternatives, including IPO. Page 17 shows the events subsequent to the reporting period after February 14th and expected impact on the business results for the fiscal 2016. Events requiring adjustment subsequent to the reporting period were already explained earlier. So on March 29th, we announced Westinghouse filing for Chapter 11. And that is mentioned at the beginning. At this point, the details of the impact are yet to be determined. So the table shows the anticipated impact on the numbers announced on February 14th. In addition, we are not making dividend payment at a record date of March end of 2017, considering the current financial situations. But we will try our best to recover our financial position so that we can restart making dividend payment as soon as possible. On page 18 and beyond are showing year-to-date business results by segment in Q3. But let me skip these pages due to time constraints. This concludes my explanation on the third quarter results.
That concludes all the presentations from Toshiba. We will now take questions. Please raise your hand if you have any questions and wait for the microphone. You are kindly requested to state your name and affiliation. Ohama from TV Tokyo. I would like to ask the president. I find it extremely unreasonable to expect us to trust the numbers that are not being endorsed by the auditor. That's really against our common sense. What are the reasons that led to this decision to make this earnings announcement today regardless? As was explained at the outset, further postponement for the sake of conducting additional investigations did not seem warranted because the question basically is whether there was pressure, whether there was an impact on the accounting. So it is a proof of non-existence. As Chairman Sato said, we checked 600,000 emails and various other things were looked into and found nothing. And we felt that the situation will remain unchanged even if we extend it again. That there might not be auditor's conclusion, even if we are to extend. And that is the reason for this decision. Are you suggesting that you feel that the auditor is to blame for this unusual situation, that the auditor is not fast enough in drawing its conclusion? It's a matter of difference in opinions, difference in views, not who is to blame. But who's responsible for this state? Let me supplement. This is Sato, Audit Committee Chairman. As I mentioned at the last meeting, the investigations that were carried out were different from usual audit review, which is to check the financial figures. The investigations stemmed from internal report. So unlike regular audit review, the scope of the investigation, the target period, ways of investigation, the procedure, those had not been established. We had to deal on a case-by-case basis. So it was different from the way ordinary audit reviews are carried out. So it was hard to foresee the progress or the workload needed. So in that sense, I think it was inevitable that we had to extend. So I don't think it's a matter of who's responsible, but there were some coordinations needed in such questions as to how far to extend the scope, how deep to dig down. Is it that the auditor still sees a possibility of impact on financial results? Is that why it has yet to draw a conclusion? That is included in the information disclosure news submitted to TSE today. What the auditor is saying in terms of remaining matters in the ongoing process is in relation to provision for loss on construction contracts, in that the investigation to determine when to recognize the loss is unfinished. On our part, we feel that our investigations have completed, but the independent auditor feels otherwise. That is described as part of the underlying reason for the disclaimer of conclusion. I have one more question to the President. Although this is indeed very unusual situation, do you think that delisting can be avoided? The decision is for TSE to make, so I will refrain from commenting. According to TSE listing regulations, delisting will be made in case it becomes clear that maintaining the order of the market is deemed difficult without immediate delisting. So we would do our utmost, make every possible effort so as not to get into that kind of situation. Let me confirm, is it your thought that even with this abnormal situation, market order can be maintained, that there will be no impact? That's TSE's decision to make. Wakabayashi from Circle Cross. First, I have a question on the independent auditor. When did you decide on the current independent auditor? Who was the chairman of the audit committee at the time? And there must have been a handover of information duties at the time from the previous auditor, Ernst & Young Shin Nihon. The quarter in question now is the third quarter, but there must have been handover of information about the first and the second quarters as well. There must have been a lot of discussions. Were there actually such handovers, such discussions done properly? What about the committee chairman's responsibility in selecting this independent auditor? First of all, the selection of the independent auditor is the matter of exclusive authority of the audit committee. So, after selecting candidates, we receive presentations, judge independence, etc., from various angles before making the decision. The right procedure was followed, and we made the right decision. Now, this time, we were faced with a matter with slightly different nature. You mentioned first and second quarters. Of course, in the process of handover from Ernst & Young Shin Nihon to PwC Arata, sufficient handover was done. There are auditing standards and there are rules of handover, and the audit committee did confirm that they have been respected. And after the handover, because this investigation stemmed from internal report, some new circumstances occurred after the handover. And because of this, additional investigations were necessary. This is the way to look at this development. As for the responsibility of the audit committee in selecting this auditor, I would like to leave the matter to the deliberations at the board of directors. In that case, for example, could there be a possibility of changing independent auditors by May? In other words, given the current situation, I think it could be possible that no conclusion would be provided by your full year earnings report in May. Could it be possible that the independent auditor would quit or Toshiba to change the auditor? We would like to consider various options, various ways of thinking. I take it that that is possible. The second question is about negative shareholders' equity. For Westinghouse, we're talking about the impairment of goodwill, so it's valued at market price. On the other hand, for the memory business, people are talking about minimum 2 trillion yen. And if you evaluate it on the market price, you will not be in the state of negative shareholders' equity. So it seems strange that in Toshiba's financial accounting, you're applying market valuation for one and applying book value for another. For example, in the case of SoftBank, the goodwill of ARM is 3 trillion yen. And should that all be impaired, SoftBank will also be faced with huge negative shareholders' equity. So it seems strange that the accounting systems in one company don't have the consistency. Are you not discussing this with your independent auditor? Hirata will answer that question. You mentioned several things. It has been agreed with the independent auditor that the representative examples that you mentioned, such as goodwill, semiconductor, NAND, flash memory, be recorded in the balance sheet based on book price, according to the current U.S. accounting standards, rather than market price. As for Westinghouse's goodwill, as has already been announced, we carried out an impairment test in light of future cash flows and decided to regard it as impaired and record it as a loss. I don't know enough about the SoftBank case to comment. In that sense, this probably is a much bigger issue than what is currently bugging you. Because on one hand, we're talking about capital excess of hundreds of billions of yen, and on the other hand, negative shareholders' equities of hundreds of billions of yen. And this is related directly to the criteria of listing And yet, you're not talking about this with the audit committee, and you are talking about something more trivial. Why aren't you discussing this? One thing I'd like to comment is that the 2 trillion yen that you mentioned in relation to the memory business, it is an amount that is being floated in relation to possible sale of the business. And if you exclude the possibility of sale, the value to be booked in the balance sheet would be entirely different. We're using something entirely different. So it's different from accusing us of using different accounting standards. I will quit now, but since at least as of April 1st, you have established the memory company, and since people are talking about 2 trillion yen, even though the sale has not yet materialized, you should be using the market value. Otherwise, you will be using double standards. This is Hirata speaking. I believe that under the current accounting standards, the NAND portion will be a so-called self-created goodwill, and the current accounting standards do not allow that. So in that sense, I think that the accounting based on the U.S. accounting standards are the non-disputable number. Yamada from NHK. First, you said that you chose to announce results without the endorsement of the independent auditor this time for the sake of shareholders. But what is the difference between now and the past 2 meetings? Could you have made the same decision in February and March? Were you able to do so if you wanted to do so? Or is it anything that is different this time around? During the last 2 meetings, the investigation report of the audit committee was still unfinished. We were still continuing the investigation, and we had an agreement with the auditor to continue and to expand the scope. As I mentioned earlier, it was a difficult decision to really see what is the appropriate scope. Now, what is different this time around is that we now have the investigation report of the audit committee, which was not the case in March or February. And it is our view that we don't need any further additional investigations. But the independent auditor feels otherwise. So that's the difference. Although the auditor did not express any conclusion, you have yet decided to announce the earnings. In a sense, it could be interpreted to mean that you don't find the independent auditor to be relevant. Are you actually saying that you're looking for a different independent auditor? Well, basically, I think that the auditor, the audit committee, the executives have their respective positions, respecting roles, which are being fulfilled. We're talking about very difficult investigations resulting in difference in opinions. And therefore, this decision doesn't mean that we are thinking of changing independent auditor. I think we are all fulfilling our respective duties. So what about the announcement of full-year earnings in May? Can we expect the same independent auditor at that time? We would like to continue the consultations and do our best. I would like to ask the president. You decided to announce this results. Does it mean that Toshiba is confident with the figures that you're announcing today? Yes, we are confident. Where does that confidence come from? We have done the investigations, and we have found nothing that would affect the accounting figures. That is the source of our confidence. My last question. You said that TSE is to decide on delisting, but in the past, there were some companies that have announced unendorsed earnings that have been delisted later. So as the president, how do you see that risk? I would like to make every effort so that we can avoid being delisted. Can you elaborate on that effort that you are going to be making? Our urgent mission is to solidify our financial base by focusing on our business under the new business portfolio and to solidify the financial base through the sale of the memory business. Shimada from SMBC Nikko Securities. I have three questions. My first question is about the usual electronic device situation. You said ROS 23%, and my reverse calculation comes to the same figure. In operating income for the third quarter alone, you have over 50 billion yen for NAND. So can you talk about the situation of NAND business in the third quarter, as well as the ratio of 3D NAND and the projection for the fourth quarter, although we are already in the April-June period? So can you talk about the NAND market situation, as is practice in the earnings report meetings? And you seem to be doing very well for HDD as well when I do the reverse calculation. So can you talk about the situation for HDD for the third quarter and the fourth quarter as well? Yes, as you have correctly pointed out, both NAND and HDD are doing well. Looking at the NAND in particular for the fourth quarter, first, on the third quarter, the operating margin was mentioned earlier. And for the fourth quarter, although we have yet to officially put together the results, we are aware of the improvement, slight improvement. And so at least for the first half of fiscal 2017, we have a pretty good visibility and we expect steady business growth. For HDD, we are seeing a steady ramp up of the business for corporations' data centers. We saw good business in the fourth quarter continuing, and for the fiscal 2017, at least for the first half, we expect the current situation to continue. Let me confirm. Your 3D NAND must be ramping up steadily to come with this very strong figures. For 3D NAND, for the third quarter on a bit basis, I think it's 10 to 20%, and for the fourth quarter, over 20%. So can you talk about the ramp up of 3D NAND business? Because this is a very important point for seeing the future. Yield of 3D NAND is improving smoothly as scheduled. Although the ratio of 3D is low for fiscal 2016, but I think we can make steady progress to reach the target 50-50 in fiscal 2017.
Understood. Second question, which is about the situation with assets. I'm looking at page 15 of the presentation materials describing this. One is for the nuclear energy business. The table shows that the balance of fixed assets as of the end of December 2016 was 364.2 billion yen. Has this been brought down to zero by Chapter 11 in Q4? And can it be reduced further to a negative number in the future? The other point is about the memory business. The table shows that the balance of assets was 237.5 billion yen I remember that the net asset figure for the memory business was 500 or 600 billion before. What was the relationship between those two numbers? It is important for us to understand this balance when thinking about the gain from the sale. For both nuclear power and memory, I don't know whether these are net or gross figures. Could you explain this? Okay, the fixed asset balance for nuclear power is going to be removed from the balance sheet when Chapter 11 is implemented. There is no impact on P&L. It is simply removed from the balance sheet. As for assets for the memory business, it was around 600 or 700 billion yen, as you correctly pointed out, on a net asset basis. Fixed assets include plant and equipment. This was supposed to increase during Q4 because new equipment was to be completed. We also have accounts receivable and inventory, as well as surpluses. Altogether, they total around 700 billion yen. Thank you. Then for the nuclear power business, the part for WEC will be brought down from 364.2 billion yen, while the Toshiba part will remain. Am I correct in saying that? Yes. As you can see in the table, this is a nuclear power business including Westinghouse, although I cannot tell you how much off the top of my head. The majority of this is WEC, and the Toshiba portion will still remain. My last question is the same as before. There is ongoing S&W-related litigation over the working capital. Could you give us an update on that? Also, after filing for Chapter 11, what were the reactions of the two companies? One of them appears to be wanting to withdraw, so what were their reactions? And also, what was the reaction of the United States government after Chapter 11? Please share with us if there is any update. That's my last question. Regarding the CB&I litigation, we are working together with an accounting auditor with a timeline of sometime this summer. There is no relationship with Toshiba, and the impact will be seen on the Westinghouse. For the customers, for now, we are continuing with construction, which is being paid for by the electricity companies. The relationship is favorable for both of them, though it is an indirect relationship. Well, I have a little concern. With Chapter 11, for Toshiba, you are saying that you have already eliminated risk, but aren't you thinking about any potential litigation or damage compensation that might arise? No, we are not thinking about that. Thank you. Next question, please. Yamada from Toyo Keizai. I have several points. The first is a clarification. Earlier, you said that you would like to announce the full year results in the middle of May. Are you implying that you would do this even without the approval of the auditor, like you did this time? Basically, the company is hoping to do this properly. Of course, that's what you are hoping to do, but you are completely at odds with the auditor, aren't you? You said so for Q3. You said that you have decided to make an announcement because you may not resolve the differences, even if you take more time. It appears unlikely that you can agree on the full year in just 1 month. Or are you releasing that even without an endorsement of the independent auditor? At this time, we are releasing the results without their opinion. The investigation by the auditing committee has already been completed. It is just the independent auditor's review that we are waiting for. We believe we can get this done in time for the mid-May schedule and conclude the audit for the year in a proper way. What exactly is the independent auditor's problem? Are they asking you to correct the figures for the previous year? As was mentioned in today's report from IR, this is an issue for Q1 onwards. We never thought that we would go back all the way to the previous year. Is the possible correction limited to the first and second quarter? It's the first, second, and the third quarters. Thank you. Understood. Second question, sorry for asking this again, but you seem to have put an end to the S&W issue by going back to what your shareholder was saying at the extraordinary shareholders meeting. The question asked was whether there was any error in judgment, and your response was that the process was appropriate and there was no error in judgment. In response to another question, however, President Tsunakawa said he wants to instill the spirit rather than taking the outward form. Even if the process was appropriate, it doesn't mean that there wasn't any problem. The financial results are pending because of the S&W part. But why is it that it couldn't be detected? Aside from whether you are including it in the financial results or not, what are your findings so far? What are you looking at right now? Regarding the judgment made about S&W, we believe that the judgment was appropriate in view of the financial statements presented, the situation surrounding litigation with customers, and various other items. When I said instilling the spirit, I think I was referring to something else. I was talking about different systems. Anyway, I believe the judgment was appropriate under the circumstances that we had at that time. Let me ask you, were you aware that there was litigation related to S&W? When I said litigation, I meant the one with customers. And there is also a possible litigation situation with another customer regarding delays in construction work and associated cost overruns. The question as to whether the price for the acquisition of S&W was fair for the assets acquired came up afterwards. That lawsuit is pending, as was mentioned by the person who asked the question earlier, and the decision is expected sometime this summer. I'm asking about the former lawsuit, not the latter. The cause for the lawsuit, I believe, was the delays and cost overruns. Were you aware of these issues at that time? Yes, that was the case. The contract provides that you accept all the liabilities S&W had at that time and will have in the future. The distribution agreement, which describes more details, provides that you are indemnifying all the stakeholders of the seller, CB&I, for the past and in the future. The list itemized all these stakeholders in the document. Given the existence of these provisions, don't you agree that the company should have recognized a certain amount of risk in the P&L in one way or another? Or do you still believe that there was no problem with the process? So the judgment did not have any flaw? Is that what you think? The decision was made in light of various situations, so that's what we believe. Thank you for your explanation. I am Miyamoto from Mitsubishi UFJ Morgan Stanley. My question overlaps with an earlier question. You have provided a table showing the conclusion of the audit committee's investigations. The conclusion of the first investigation says a level of certainty that justifies inclusion in the financial statements, which implies that there are factors indicating cost overruns, but WEC or Toshiba's management failed to recognize these. Was that due to a lack of ability or to a sudden change in the external environment? Did the cost overrun get bloated to several hundreds of billions of yen in just a matter of 1 year because of these reasons? Regarding the recognition, under the accounting rules, you cannot put aside a provision based on a concern without the reasonable quotation or some evidence. A mere concern does not justify inclusion in the financial statements. Are you saying that you didn't have evidence because S&W was a separate company? In order to put aside a provision, you need certain evidence, such as a quotation or invoice. Otherwise, the accounting rules do not allow us to do this. This is impossible only with a certain concern or likelihood. Well, you had the litigation, meaning you knew that the additional cost incurred had to be borne by somebody, but you didn't recognize this because there was no evidence? I just explained the accounting procedures. I wasn't involved in the detailed discussions of the contract, but judging from what I know about the contract, what we were negotiating was the terms and conditions of the contract regarding how to absorb construction delays and cost overruns. For example, whether the customer would agree to an increase in the contract prices. That should have been checked by the independent auditor we had at that time, as well as the people responsible for the due diligence. That's the understanding of the audit committee. Then, can I conclude that it was the lack of competency of the people who performed due diligence that caused the problem? That's a far-fetched conclusion. However, that was the process that we had. Given the amount of the value, you can no longer say that no one made a mistake. Isn't that covered by the audit committee? The difficulty with the ongoing issue is that it is all about the estimate of future cost, which may or may not materialize. That is the limit. There is a limit to what we can check on this. So your cost estimate was not so big in the beginning, but it grew quickly over the course of 1 year. Back then, the construction operation was not within our organization. It was in the other party's organization. There was a limit to how much evidence we could obtain. But S&W has been your partner and exclusive contractor from the beginning of the acquisition of WEC. It would be reasonable to expect that WEC had sufficient communication with them. What was your thinking? Well, the equipment was provided by WEC, while the construction was performed by CB&I, Stone and Webster. And the structure we had was a consortium, so we had a close relationship and a continuous process of control between the manufacturing and the installation of the equipment and so forth. However, we were still different business entities despite the consortium. Each side had certain interests, so we didn't exchange, for example, information on the detailed cost breakdown. That was nothing unusual about that. Let me ask one more question. In the quarterly report, I was surprised to find a huge increase in the amount of risks of businesses, especially given the ongoing concern about whether the company can continue as a going concern. It was surprising that you mentioned the risk in the event of a loss of special construction business license. Could you give us some idea about the size of that business that you can potentially lose as a result of the loss of the license? To which segment do most of the projects belong? Many are in the energy and the solution, social infrastructure segments. We would like to review the group structure and so forth because the license is held not only by Toshiba, but also by some of our subsidiaries. We would like to do this before December when the license expires. Let me add some comments on the first question. We were not properly managing the working capital because we did not receive accurate figures for some of the financial items. We could not accurately estimate working capital. We also expected an efficiency improvement of about 30% when WEC used floor, but that was too optimistic on our part, so we did not get the efficiency gain we expected. That was a major miscalculation. Could you tell us the rough size of the business affected by the license? Is it negligible number, or is it like 20 or 30% of the total sales? Just give us some idea, please. That's a question on the license based on the Construction Industry Act. I am afraid that we do not have the answer to that question right now. The total sales for energy system solutions and infrastructure system solutions is about 2 trillion yen for the first 9 months from April to December. Out of that amount, not all projects rely on the license. Roughly speaking, I would say that it should be one quarter or so. But if you need a precise figure, please let us come back to you later. Next question, please. Murai from Weekly Diamond Magazine. I have a question related to the previous one regarding the comment on completing the full year audit within May. You seem to assume that the PwC investigation will be completed by that timing. But what's the basis for your assumption? We are discussing ways to do that at the moment. I said that we would release the results by May, in May, because even if it is before audit, it would be better to release something for the benefit of our shareholders and the stakeholders, just as we released the Kessan Tanshin report on February the 14th, as company estimates. So while we are trying to do our best to release the full year results, but even if we can't, we will release the best information available to update our shareholders on the latest situation.
If the PwC audit is not completed by May this year, then you do again the disclaimer of conclusion for the full year of reporting. On the executive side, for myself, being in charge of the financial closing will make the utmost effort so that it will not happen, and we would like to make an active cooperation with the audit house so that that type of thing will not happen. In other words, your plan to do the financial reporting on February 14th, however, it has been postponed twice, and then this time you are saying to select the disclaimer of conclusion and it's been delayed. But in 1 month's period of time, if there is a possibility of PwC evaluation will not be completed, since the independent auditor is going to do the task, we cannot really make a judgment about the timelines. But as the president has already explained, three-quarter announcement has been delayed. So even with the disclaimer of conclusion, as a company, we wanted to show the numbers to stakeholders. That is why we made announcement today. No, what I mean is, even at the stage of announcing the fourth quarter in May, is there a possibility that PwC evaluation is not going to be completed? I think there is. In that case, not the extension, but you would do the disclaimer of conclusion again. Well, disclaimer of conclusion, from the auditor's perspective, important procedure have not been completed, then disclaimer would be used. So, however, this time it was a very special investigation. For the full year closing, this will be perceived from the different dimension. So I cannot guarantee that this portion has been completed by that. However, we can do the full year closing. As a company, we can account the numbers. So as Hirata-san has already mentioned, we can account for numbers. And we will proceed consult with the auditors. My name is Hiraka from Merrill Lynch Securities. I have three questions. First question is confirmation. You mentioned 600,000 forensic. But what is the period that your forensic investigation is focusing on? The 600,000 forensic is the one I'm talking about. I'd like to know the period that is applied. Basically, that was from December last year to the April this year. So in the entire numbers is 600,000. I don't know the details, how much has been distributed in that different time. Is it mean that it is from the last December? I think that is written somewhere. So that was from the July 2015 to February 2017. The second question, disclaimer of the conclusion, there's a possibility of delisting. Do you know any timelines for that judgment by TSE in regards to delisting? Delisting will be determined by TSE, so we will make our utmost effort so that delisting will not happen. That is the answer I could provide now. Thank you. I'd like to ask this last question to the president. In terms of the sales of the equity of memory companies, I think you should withdraw that, is my idea. Why do I think so? Because at the time of announcing the majority divestiture of memory business, due to the normal value, due to the risk of the nuclear business, but now you have blocked the risk coming from the nuclear business. So therefore, in your entire business portfolio, relatively speaking, has a better competitive edge in this memory business. You should retain that. And then the other businesses, which is not really profit-making, such as energy or infrastructure business, to be divested, it would be rather more logical, I think. If the asset deficiency timing is an issue, please put aside that issue. Thank you for your comment. Memory business has a very stiff competition. We would have to continue the development, and we would have to continue the CapEx. So due to those burdens in regards to the financial status today, we are going for the direction of injecting the external capital. My name is Tsuchiya from News Sokura, which is Net Media. And I wanted, have said, I want to ask the related questions, but other people have already asked those questions, so let me ask you different questions. On page 17 of explaining your performance, the impact coming from the events after disclosure, it mentions about the additional worsening in accompanied with the Chapter 11 application of Westinghouse. You have mentioned the certain assumptions. The amount has been calculated. But the parent company guarantee is 650 billion yen, and loan loss is the 175.6 billion yen. In total, that would be 800 billion yen. But in what kind of multiplier did you use, or percentage did you use, to come up with the 620 billion instead? I'd like to know the process of this explanation. We did not use any particular multipliers or any percentage, but due to the independent company guarantee and also our loan to the Westinghouse, when that becomes a loss, then we have to account those amounts into our losses. On the other hand, Westinghouse is now going to be outside the scope of Toshiba Group's balance sheet. Therefore, the goodwill impairment is already accounted as a loss, and those losses is going to be removed. That is the positive factor. So in the net, this is the amount that we impacted. So that is not that we use any particular percentage to be multiplied by. In the goodwill impairment was already stated on February 14th, which is before Chapter 11 application. Why is that number is a positive number to come up with the 620 billion yen? The goodwill impairment was accounted on February 14th. It may not be 100% equal, but the liability side, which was the assumption of the accounting the goodwill impairment, was also the reserve for the lost contracts. This will be accounted out, but in simply stated, this amount is similar to the parent company guarantee. Let me change the question. On February 14th, the president has said the parent company guarantee was 800 billion yen, but this time it became 650 billion yen. Is it due to the foreign exchange rate or any other issues? No, there's no particular impact from foreign exchange rate. The amount of the parent company guarantee is 653 billion yen. When the president said 800 billion yen, it was a mistake. Maybe we did not explain enough, but when 800 billion yen is in addition to the 600 billion yen parent company guarantee of the 170 billion yen loan loss, and this will be depreciated, which was a loan to the Westinghouse, and in total that would be 800 billion yen. Maybe I'm asking a very nitpicking questions, but for all the, are there any additional burden or expenses from the nuclear business due to the Chapter 11 application of the Westinghouse, I just want to confirm that there is no more payment from the Toshiba. I don't fully agree with the explanation, but are there any risk of having additional 150 billion yen parent company guarantee, or it may exceed the 620 billion yen of the loan loss reserve? That is a question I have. Could you explain more about this? And also in this description, it said it is not fixed yet. So is the 620 billion yen number, is it a temporary number that it cannot may increase? How much possibility of it has that the amount will be increased? It might have caused you misunderstanding because it is written as a certain assumption, but the balance sheet has not been firmed yet as an actual number. So after the announcement, the business will continue, and balance sheet numbers would change dynamically in that sense. That is why it is written as certain assumption. In regards to your question of whether there's any possibility of increasing the amount, at this point, the amount of the parent company guarantee is already fixed, so in principle, there's no change. I have another question. When the buyer of the Westinghouse is decided, could the company would continue to have the inherit the parent company guarantee, or in terms of the legal judgment, would there be possibilities that would be charged to Toshiba side? Is the question, if we sell Westinghouse? Well, if that's the case, there's no more possible to divest the Westinghouse because it is already Chapter 11. They're out of our balance sheet. So therefore, it can be possible to sell Westinghouse. In regards to parent company guarantee, in Toshiba, provides the guarantee to the two power companies in U.S. What I mean is when the sponsor is decided, then that is deceded to the two power companies in the U.S. as a parent company guarantee, so it has nothing to do with the sponsor. So there would be a possibility of retaining Toshiba's guarantee. Yes, of course. My name is Kada from Asahi Newspaper. You made this announcement with the disclaimer of conclusion. In comparing to the postponing it again, what is the pros and cons? You mentioned the interest of the stakeholder will be harmed. And what is, are there any actual harms or damage to Toshiba? Or are there any problem has already happened with your relationship with banks? In terms of comparison between the extension versus the disclaimer, the first thing is that it is not so clear why it has been extended, and also due to the anxiety of the trust toward our company, so we wanted to make it sure that it's clear. And the investigation has been already completed, and there's no more change from the result of the investigation. And that is the result came up from our audit committee, so there's no more reason to extend our reporting. When you say anxiety about the trust of a company, are there actual damage to your company? Well, this was still in the process. It was the suspicion that there be why that happened, and it was still under the investigation of the audit. So therefore, we could not make it clearly. That is why we want to clear that anxiety. In its description says, it was temporarily became difficult to address to the evaluation due to the impact from Chapter 11 that has been stated. For that reason, because you could not address to that, it became temporarily difficult. I don't really understand this part. And also, during the investigation, the name of the managers who have given the pressure is not being disclosed. Who are they? And in the overview of investigation number 4, specific 4 events in the investigation number 4, what are they? In regards to Chapter 11, as Mr. Hirata has already explained, they would become outside the consolidated of Toshiba groups, so they are no longer a subsidiary company. So we cannot enter and go into the investigation as a parent company, but we can do the investigation. The name of the certain managers, investigation has been already completed. As a result, it did not impact at all on the financial numbers. And this is just an issue of the pressure or not. And there's some sense of the differences, the difference in terms of their senses. So therefore, by the additional hearing, So there will be no impact on the accounting numbers. That is, the audit committee has made a judgment we should refrain from disclosing the particular individual names. What was the third question? What were the four events? Whether we require to recognize the loss, and those have been findings from the auditors, four findings, and whether to follow up to be able to need to be accounted as a loss. What are the specific events or issues, findings out of four? And also the description of the temporary difficult. I don't understand the meaning of that sentence. Well, since it has moved to chapter 11, there's some difficulty. In terms of four findings, for example, I will check. Please wait. Please wait. Well, basically, for the questions like, are there necessary to recognize the additional costs, and we are making the checking for that. I have a last question in regards to the IPO of Landis-Gyr. Are you going to do the IPO or are you going to divest the Landis-Gyr? We are reviewing the wide variety of choices, including IPO and divestiture. My name is Moriyama from J.P. Morgan Securities. I have two questions in regards to financial numbers, and also I'd like to ask a question in regards to your comment of making utmost effort to retain listing. In regards to numbers, if I make the deduction of numbers, the operating loss of the nuclear is more than 10 billion Japanese yen, and also thermal power seem to be in red ink as well. Why is it in the red ink? And there are businesses that Toshiba is going to pursue after you separate from overseas nuclear and also semiconductor business. What do you think of your thermal power business? That is my first question. My second question is in regards to semiconductor bit growth and unit price and CapEx.
So you're asking me about the breakdown for the energy system solutions business, right? So if you take out 720 billion yen for the goodwill, you have a loss about 40 billion yen. And if you take out 20-something billion yen for AP1000, in a simple calculation, you seem to have some loss remaining. Nuclear power systems only? Yes, that's how it looks like. Okay. Well, excluding the impairment loss on the regular goodwill, for both Japan and overseas, it is okay to think this business is slightly on the negative. So this business tends to post more sales in a Q4. So for those 9 months, this is the level of business results that we are seeing at this point. Also for the semiconductor, well, the thermal power system business seems to be making slight loss for 9 months for thermal power, right? So we have the number on page 19. So thermal power business is making an operating profit of 4.6 billion yen. But Q3 alone, the first half was a total of 6.8 billion yen. If you do the subtraction, then you're on a slight loss side. Okay, that's what it means. I cannot remember the specific project, but in certain project, we did have some losses. But sorry, I do not have detailed answer to this question. But for the next year, You don't have any concerns about the power business? Yes. Towards Q4, we should expect to get more sales to come. So it should generate a certain amount of profit. Semiconductor business. Can you give us the results for Q3 alone when it comes to big growth and unit prices? Also, document says the CapEx to be 360 billion yen. And a while ago, you mentioned that CapEx to be 860 or 90 billion yen for 3 years. So basically, can you confirm there's no change in your CapEx plan? Yes, as there's no change to our CapEx plan at this point. So right now is a very important timing for the 3D NAND equipment investment. So although we are exposed to such a difficult conditions as the company, but we are planning to make proper investment on this area. When it comes to big growth for Q3 alone, compared to the previous year, the year-on-year number, I believe it grew by about 35%. And the selling prices, right? Well, how should we answer to this number? On Q-on-Q basis, it went up by about 6%. Thank you very much. So you mentioned that you will be making the utmost efforts to stay listed in the market. Well, since you have semiconductor, I don't think we need to worry too much about the financial perspective, but on the corporate governance, the Tokyo Stock Exchange or Kanto Finance Bureau may have some thoughts over your corporate governance. In a broad sense, so this can be considered some sort of a special case brought by a natural disaster. In a sense, in a real wider sense, this could be somewhat similar to the case with TEPCO. So, but I guess picking up on the details and running out of time, that's what you've been seeing so far. But within your utmost effort, for example, have you ever considered for your president to go talk to the national government to give an explanation so you can be recognized by the national government as this was the special case? Do you plan to go that far? Would that be possible to be seen? Because you have many investors from individuals, institutionals, and many other stakeholders investing in your companies. So I think it's difficult for all the stakeholders to accept the delisting of your company from the stock market, which is driven by the behaviors taken by the management members of the company. So I'd like to know how far you are planning to go for within your utmost efforts. Since we are now considered to be the securities on alert, of course, we are focused on fully implementing compliance, on trying to focus on the governance with the affiliated companies. Those are the areas which are watched at this point, so we will be earnestly working on making improvements in this area. But we have no plan to go talk to the national government at this point. Why is that? Because there's nothing to be reported to the national government in particular at this point. May I? So, my name is Onishi. I'm a freelancer. I have a question for Mr. Hirata. So, this announcement you made, do you consider this as the financial results by a public company? Can you give us a comment as a professional in a finance? Yes, we are supposed to obtain an unqualified opinion from an auditor to explain the results to all of you. In that sense, I want to apologize for the fact not meeting this responsibility as a person in charge of accounting. So you're sharing the numbers which could be potentially changed in the future. And some people are using these numbers to buy and sell your stocks today or even now. Don't you think this is an irresponsible behavior taken by a public company? Yes, we feel sorry for not being able to share fully approved numbers at this point. So shouldn't you have announced these numbers? Well, there is a system to allow us to file the results with the disclaimer of conclusion. So in that sense, as explained by the President Tsunakawa, we currently have various kinds of stakeholders, and the company as well as the audit committees have conducted investigations. And in order to address concerns held by the various stakeholders, although we did not have the unqualified opinion, but we decided to go ahead and announce the results. But I don't think this can get rid of the concerns held by the stakeholders. But let me go to the next question. Regarding the acquisition of Stone and Webster, who conducted the due diligence in 2015? When you acquire a business like this, I'm sure there will be a professional involved in the process. Basically, Westinghouse interviewed, talked to CBNI and received documents from them and reviewed their conditions. And we also had a consultant with the experience. But we'd like to refrain from commenting on the specific name of the company. Was that Deloitte? Well, let me refrain from making comment on the specific name of the company. I see. So right now, between PwC and Toshiba, there is a gap in understanding. When we think about that, I think the gap lies in the timing of the loss related to the acquisition of Stone and Webster. And according to your explanation, Mr. Sato, you confirmed that it did not happen before October of 2016. So if that is the case, then within a few months after that, you saw this enormous amount of loss worth 716.6 billion yen all of a sudden. So that's your explanation, but this could not happen unless there were unthinkable external factors, something as big as the Great Eastern Japan earthquake, or the fact was concealed by Toshiba. And in order to conceal this fact, there may have been certain pressures. And some internal members may have suggested to disclose it, while some senior members, it could have been maybe Shiga-san or Roderick, but may have exercised pressure to hide them, or that your due diligence was a complete fake and you got tricked or fooled by the acquisition. These are the only three scenarios I can think of. Can any of them be true? So first of all, the company had the audit committee to investigate on that point. And we received the explanation on the point whether this loss was known previously or not. And the company confirmed that loss was recognized in this Q3. And when it comes to due diligence at the time of the acquisition, based on the conditions back then, Westinghouse and Toshiba made a proper judgment to decide on the acquisitions. So why do you see a loss of 700 billion all of a sudden? Well, this is my understanding. So 700 billion yen was calculated to estimate the expected cost for the coming 4 or 5 years to build 2 nuclear sites, including cost overruns. And so looking at the existing efficiency, labor cost, and material cost, these were all reviewed. If we were to spend as much as we do now, there's a potential spending this much for the coming few years until 2021 or so. So when you bought the company in 2015, you haven't made this type of review on Stone and Webster, and you did it for the first time and you were surprised to see the result, to have such an unthinkable forecast. And that's why you went ahead to announce this number. Is that right? after the acquisition, so those two projects in the U.S. were quite huge. So I believe there were a tremendous amount of documents, including design drawings related to the constructions. So Westinghouse needed to go through them to calculate the cost expected until the completion of these sites. And of course, they were going to make a request to get a quote to a vendor. But first, Westinghouse did analysis of these documents to create a request for the estimate or the quote. And then the vendor worked on the quoting. And it became a quite large quote. And at the very end, Westinghouse received the quote from the vendor. And then Westinghouse themselves reviewed the quote utilizing a professional consultant in the construction. And after going through this process, they came up with this final cost estimate expected for the future years, and that came out in Q3. But that type of estimate or quote should have been done before the acquisition. Well, at the time of acquisition, for example, it's quite general for not disclosing such a huge amount of documents and drawings in a regular M&A project. But we did receive documents from the seller, the CBNI, related to the constructions. Of course, they are not necessarily the drawings, but the documents that contain very detailed information related to those two projects in the United States. And we also received the final balance sheet of Stone & Webster, which was the audited balance sheet. So using this documentation, we made a judgment on the acquisition. So last question we would like to take. This is Nakanishi from Business Insider. So let me ask you from a different perspective. But I have one clarification to make first. So now you've split the semiconductor business and Westinghouse filed for Chapter 11. So these will be reflected in your financial results in the next timing? Sorry, I wasn't able to hear you very well. Can you clarify that? So Toshiba Memory, the semiconductor business, was split as of April 1st, and then Westinghouse filed for Chapter 11. So are these reflected in the full year financial results that comes out in May? For the Chapter 11 filing will be reflected in the numbers for Q4. Regarding memory business, this was split as of April 1st. It will be reflected in the fiscal 2017. On a related note, the Toshiba memory business, according to the roadmap shared in the middle of March, I believe Toshiba declared that you will be reborn to be a new Toshiba. So excluding the semiconductor, memory, Westinghouse businesses. So you said you will be focusing on the social infrastructure businesses. Can you clarify what are included in these social infrastructure businesses? So what was just explained by Mr. Hirata has about 5.5 trillion yen net sales at this point. But for this new fiscal year, it will be about a 4 trillion yen level. And half of that should be driven by the social infrastructure businesses. And they are broken into three different categories. One clear category is the building system solutions. This is the elevators, air conditioners, and buildings. That's one area. The second area is public infrastructures. This includes the defense systems and lasers and many other things. For example, the machineries utilized at banks to count banknotes. And also, there is another infrastructure business for railways in other areas. Those are the three categories to consist of social infrastructure business. So I think you plan to introduce the external capital into Toshiba Memory for the semiconductor business. So if you successfully completes the sale of the shares of Toshiba Memory, I think that can kind of offset the loss for the Westinghouse. If that is the right understanding, then I would like to continue on my next question. Well, I don't know if it is an appropriate expression to say the offset, the loss or not, but by filing Chapter 11, our shareholders' equity was largely impaired, while by selling the majority of memory business, we can expect to get certain earnings. So those negative shareholders' equity can be turned into the positive conditions. My last question. So by introducing external capitals into semiconductor business, you plan to transfer the majority at this point. And there are many news reports talking about the progress of the tender itself. And some are saying that some companies are offering 2 trillion yen or 3 trillion yen for the bid. So I am interested in knowing the current progress of the tender. Who are participating in the tender? What is the progress? Can you share the information? Unfortunately, I am not able to share the details of the progress of the tender. Thank you. So this concludes our briefing session today.